Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Everybody, and welcome to Medium Insights. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and every second Thursday of every month, I interview the elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums on a variety of topics. And, you know, they answer questions of which most of us seek answers to. Tonight's show, as always, is sponsored by the Camelot Center. So please visit them at www.camelot.com and stay tuned during our commercial break for information about our other fine sponsors. Tonight's guest is the one and only Siri Bernstein, and if you would like to call in to speak with Siri, your questions are very welcome. The number to call is 888-627-6008. However, please bear in mind that this is a forum for learning only. Okay, the medium Siri will not be conducting any readings tonight. This is to find out what makes the mediums tick, and if you have any questions, topic related, you're more than welcome to call in. So a little bit about Siri. She's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, and she's been blessed with the gift of mediumship throughout her whole life. Since childhood, she's recognized her remarkable clairvoyance, empathy, and vivid dreams. In time, she came to embrace her unique abilities and use her gift to heal and comfort those who had lost loved ones through the power of mediumship and support with bereavement. Prior to entering the world of communicating with spirit, Siri trained and studied intensively as an artist, earning her master's degree in visual arts. Her keen eye and creative sensibility developed through the years of dedicated study inform her of distinct visual accuracy in her mediumship. She holds a dual degree, MFA from Tufts University and School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, as well as a BFA degree from Aki and Royal College of Fine Arts in the Netherlands, and an associate's degree in journalism and mass communication from the University of Iceland. She lived all around the world in Europe, Middle East, USA, and speaks several different languages. She understands the fluidity and complexity of many different cultures, a gift she uses frequently in her mediumship. Since harnessing her gift, Siri has dedicated her life to achieving excellence in the art of mediumship. She's utilized every opportunity to master how to truly use the tool of communication with spirits, and has studied mediumship extensively in many prestigious venues. She's based in Boston, Massachusetts, and her website is spiritoflight.com. So spiritoflight.com. And tonight's topic is interpreting messages from spirits. We're going to kind of be centering around that. Siri, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Roman. Thank you for the invitation.
Welcome. Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm a big fan, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, and I think your reputation precedes you. You're very good at what you do, and we want to find out what you do and how you do it. So, I mean, you receive a lot of messages, obviously, from spirit, and today's topic is interpreting these messages. So we'll just start off, you know, generally, like, how do you receive messages, Siri?
So how I receive messages, I actually use all the senses. I use my clairaudience, clairvisual, claircognizance, clairsentience, and clairambience and clairgustance, which is basically I see, I hear, I feel. I will smell things, and I will taste things, and I will know things. And I use all those senses, both subjectively and objectively.
And they all kind of like line up and work together to give you a really, really clear picture of what's going on, correct?
Yeah, so like you said, you know, quote-unquote clear picture. I am very, very visual as a medium, but I've really developed my clairaudience pretty well, so that also I can actually hear words and the way the words that flow through my mind, it's almost like there's a very subtle thought that flows mm-hmm. through my mind, and that is my clairaudience. And so I sort of combine those senses together. And I think one of the favorite things that I do is when I'm in a private session, I'll describe a dish, and I will taste the dish, and I will maybe smell it. And I don't cook. And I find it really interesting when I'm able to, almost to a detail, tell what is in a dish or, you know, what is in a baking recipe, and I don't bake and I don't cook. But I love food. Yeah, so I use those senses, yeah, because the way the spirit, they flow through my mind, and they will give me both the visual of what it could look like, and sometimes I will see food or fruits that I've never seen before, and I will describe it, and then I will describe the flavors of it, and the person usually they understand. Like, I have to really put it together. I have to put an image plus an image plus an image plus the flavor.
I see.
That's, you know, yeah. So I'm actually quite detailed. One of my students the other day, she said, "Well, you're the queen of detail." And I had never heard that before, but I thought it was a good description.
Now, you started off by saying something about the clairaudient. When you receive, like, when you hear messages, is there a particular language that you hear them in, or is there a language barrier to interpreting these messages? I know you speak many languages,
So this is actually a really good question, because I speak so many different languages, I would say 90% of the time I get it in English. But there are on occasion when I will have someone that maybe they spoke the same language of one of the languages that I spoke or that I have spoken. I will sometimes have words popping into my mind that come from a language that could be German or Swedish or Danish or something. But then also on top of that, there are times when I am lacking the word in English and I have to give a good description about it. And then it is understood. And then on top of that also, like I will hear words, like for instance, I heard a Yiddish word the other day. And I didn't know what it meant, but I heard it all throughout the day. And then I actually, at the end of the day, I actually sat down and I had to look it up online. And the word in Yiddish, it meant crazy. I was having a really crazy day.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I heard that word in Yiddish, and I had to look it up. But then even on top of that, there are on really rare occasion that I will hear a name. I remember there was one reading that I did. And I gave a really good description of somebody who had passed away, and the lady, she said, "No, I don't know who that is." And then at the tail end of the reading, I said to her, "You know, I need to mention this young man that came through in the beginning of the reading. I need to mention him again. He gives me the name of Krishnamurti." And she knew exactly who I was talking about. She said, "Oh, that is my sister's old boyfriend."
Oh, wow.
So I was able to hear his name in Indian. And, you know, so I'm able to use the... Even though I'm not really a clairaudient medium, I'm still able to decipher the sound and describe that to the person.
Do you find that, like, when you're giving readings, sometimes you'll give a message that you've received and the person will not understand, the sitter will not understand it, but they will get it after, you know, because they didn't know something and they find out about it after? To me, that's like... one of the best evidences of mental mediumship you can get. But tell us about that.
Yes, because because I actually record all of my sessions. On my session, a session with me, it lasts about 90 minutes, about give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently I will receive emails after the fact from people, and they will say, "I understand what you meant by this." And if they email me like 2 days after the session, I will remember the session. But if it's like 4 or 5 days after the session, I won't remember it. But then, so I will know what they're talking about. And then also, I have a lot of people that are regular clients, and they will come to me and they will say to me, "Oh, I listened to the session over and over and over again, and I discovered more and more and more things." So, so during the session, they may not necessarily know everything, but then once they walk away from my office, because they get very emotional a lot of times.
Right.
And so when they leave, they're kind of emotional, and then they realize that after the fact, when like other family members, they listen to the session and they say, "Oh yeah, that is so and so," you know.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's
kind of nice when, and I also like I sort of coach them through it in the beginning. I say to them, "If you understand things, that's wonderful. If you don't understand something, just let me know whether you say no or I don't know, because that is a big big difference. If it's a no, then I just won't go any further with it. And it may also be me. I myself as a medium, I may sometimes misunderstand ever so slightly. And I know that if it comes up again, I will use a different way of expressing it. And okay. Oftentimes it is understood, yeah. So
you were saying earlier that you teach mediumship as well? That's something you're into?
I love teaching, and I'm hoping that in the fall, I'm incredibly busy with private sessions in my office, but I'm hoping that in the fall I can put more emphasis on my classes and teaching, and I'm really hoping that maybe in the beginning of 2019, I'm hoping to do some sort of an online class, because I'm finding it to be extremely helpful, or to do some sort of a coaching or mentorship that would also be online, because I'm realizing that using the internet, using Skype to have a classroom, is really beneficial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that can be taught, and I'm sure you believe that everybody's born with a certain amount of capacity to be a medium. I mean, everybody's got some to some degree. You know, some people have it more than others. You know, I don't have a lot of it, but you do, for example. Is it something that, you know, somebody, let's say like me, with very little hope with mediumship, can develop and become better at it? Is it a confidence thing? What would you suggest?
So this is my theory about the whole thing. Mediums are born. You know, just like singers, Adele, like she's got this amazing voice. Musicians, Yo-Yo Ma. I mean, Yo-Yo Ma, he's a natural musician. Mm-hmm. And I do think we're born this way, but I do think also that when you have the right teacher, they can really bring out the best in you. And there are some teachers that may not resonate with one person, but this one person may go to another teacher, and they may be able to work with them. And I know this because years ago, I had a couple in my class, and it was a husband and a wife, and they were like in their 50s or 60s. So they were, you know, a little bit older than the average student, which is normally about 25 to 35. And they had taken a class with one medium, and the husband got a lot out of that class, and the wife didn't get anything out of that class. And then the two of them came over to me, and the wife got a lot out of my class, but he didn't really get that much. So it could also be the teacher.
That could probably apply to maybe some mediums resonate with certain sitters better than others, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, so, I mean, I was always wondering why you can get one, you know, let's say you have two very good mediums, and they will give you completely different messages.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also know that, for instance, when I teach, I've taken a lot of classes with a lot of teachers. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not so much for me at this point to learn how to do, how to be a medium, but for me, it's to learn different techniques. What are the techniques that they use? And I know, for instance, when I teach, I tend to be very structured. There are some medium teachers, they will sort of go with the flow and they will just see what happens. Whereas I kind of take my academic experience into my classroom when I teach mediumship. And I go through all of the senses step by step, and I do it quite in depth. And and I also talk about it, you know, objectively and then subjectively. And so I go really into the details of things, because I want people to try to dig deep in receiving information, because it really is reception perception.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it is reception perception, the student or the medium, they then have to understand how to sort of bring forth the perception that they have received. So
now, probably a lot of your clients, and your students probably, are people that, you know, like everybody else, has somebody bereaved in their life, or are bereaved because of somebody that they lost, and they want to learn how to communicate. And, you know, I would say, I mean, that's my guess, that most people are in that situation, because that's what got me interested in this whole thing. Would you say that there's like an optimal amount of time between, you know, the passing of a loved one and when somebody should be getting a reading? Because I think, you know, right after, you're all closed up, you're in such shock and, you know, hurt, mm-hmm. that maybe it's mm-hmm. not optimal. You know what I mean? So
right.
is there
well,
a time that passes that heals
well,
or whatever?
You see, the things I've been able to communicate with people 8 hours after they passed away, and there was actually one of the mm-hmm. it was one of the big events that I did for the Forever Family Foundation. I was sitting at a table, and I had, I think, 6 or 8 people in front of me, and I went to this couple, and I said, "There's this young man that is coming through," and I gave a really good description of him, and they kind of gasped, and they said, "He passed away just this morning," and so it had only been eight
wow.
hours that they received a message from him. And he was a great communicator. So I think it is, I think it's like, we can't really say, oh, this is how you should do it. I think that every single individual is different. Every single spirit is different. There are some
okay.
spirits that are far better communicators than others. And we have to keep in mind also that when a person passes away, there is no time in the spirit world. So what may be 30 years for us is just a flicker of a moment for them. So
right,
we have to
right.
put all of that into context. It's kind of like living side by side. One person has no watch, has no idea what day it is or what time it is, because they don't really care, because they don't have a place to go to. They don't have work.
And,
they don't
yeah.
have school. You know?
And there's a large school of thought that says, you know, that believes that we go to where we came from. You know, we incarnate
yeah.
to experience life, and then we go back, and that's really
yeah.
our home. And that
right,
that
yeah, we go back home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and while we're here, the time is a man-made concept. It's made by man just to interpret our surroundings, really.
Yes, exactly.
Because we're stuck in it. There's only a certain
yeah.
amount of time that we have, and
yeah.
that's really
yeah.
fascinating. That you know, what your point about that, it's not all about the sitters and the mediums, but sometimes it really depends on the person, the discarnate, how good of a communicator they are as well.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
Because a person may be in deep grief, and
mm-hmm.
they may not necessarily be the ones that come in for the session, but you know, someone else, a friend or somebody, may come in for a session in my office, and you know, this person comes through, and the you know, the sitter is sort of wondering, like, could this be so and so? And the more information that is brought forth, you know, it may only have been 3 days later or something, and then they say, I know who that is. That is my friend's father or something. And so, you know, the grieving person may not necessarily be in the office, but there may be a message for the grieving person through a friend,
mm-hmm.
basically letting them know that they arrived home and they arrived safely. So time in the spirit world is not a factor, but we as human beings, I think that every person has to decide for themselves if they are ready to get a reading or if they're not ready. And
right.
and I think it also sort of works out magically. Some of the finest mediums are booked up like 2 years up in time. Many of my colleagues, especially through the Forever Family Foundation, many of them are booking sort of 6 months out.
And
they don't have any appointments within the first 6 months. So that kind of works in everyone's favor, because the grieving person then may be sort of, they may have surpassed the greatest grief, and they may come into the office like 6 months after somebody passed or a year, and so they may have sort of settled down in the grief a little bit. So it kind of works out. But there are very good mediums that are not certified necessarily, you know. But then again, there are also mediums that
yeah.
are not very good.
Well, you know what? I was going to actually talk to you about that, ask you about that. There are mediums out there that are, well, let's just say that they think they're good, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I know I've done some testing for the Forever Family Foundation, the certified mediums, and you know, it's a very few that make the mark. Most of them don't, but
yeah.
they're really trying hard. And I think that they're not trying to, I wouldn't go as far as saying they're trying to deceive people on purpose, like the old days of the charlatans and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they generally believe that they're good at it, and even though they're not. As a sitter, let's say you've spent some good money on a medium,
mm-hmm.
and you're
mm-hmm.
sitting in front of this medium, and how can you, like, tell that you've got a bad medium? Or, you know what I mean? Like, because
yeah,
if it was me,
yeah,
I would just want to, like, get up and leave, pretty much. You know, I don't want to waste my time,
right.
you know?
Right. But then, like, you don't want to be rude.
No, you don't want to be rude. Of course not. You know, but it's just—it's probably okay. You're there. You got to stick through it, but you don't come back. Basically, you know.
Right, and I think that the other thing also, when you sit down with a bad medium, it can do so much damage. Like one of the things that I was thinking about the other day, somebody came into my office and sort of triggered this memory that this is years and years ago, probably about 15 years ago. I was working out of a little shop, a small metaphysical shop, and what happened was that there was a man that came in for a reading on a Wednesday afternoon with me, and his son had passed away on a Saturday. So Saturday night, Sunday morning, his son had passed away accidentally, and then the father came in for a reading with me on Wednesday, and I brought him through with evidence how he passed away, just detail. Now, the following Saturday, the rest of the family had booked a session with another medium, and that other medium said that, oh, your son is stuck. He's stuck in water. That did enormous damage for the family. And then I stayed in touch with the father, and I sort of had to undo the damage, and that was really tough, because just the fact that the son had come through 3 days after he passed away with really clear messages, and then this other medium is not able to connect with him and sort of indicated that he was stuck and he was in darkness and almost in purgatory. I mean, it was just horrible.
That is a horrible thing. I mean, especially, you know, for those of us that have studied this and learned a lot about it, you know, that purgatory is like a, you know, personally, I don't believe in it. I think it's made up.
It's a way to get money from
the Catholic Church. You know, give the Catholic Church lots of money, so Uncle Vito will your Uncle Vito will go to heaven. You know.
Yeah, so I know. It's totally made up. I'm not religious. I'm not Catholic. I'm not religious per se. I mean, I was involved in the spiritualist church for a long, long time because they have a lot of great mediums and teachers in the church.
Right, absolutely.
But I know for sure there is no purgatory. There's no place that is, you know, I've never in my life experienced a spirit that was stuck.
Of course.
I've been doing this now almost for 2 decades.
Well, and I'm not knocking religion. I think that, you know, interpreted the right way, I think they can go hand in hand. I think one can enhance the other.
Oh, absolutely,
I think they're really good partners, done the right way. But
and that's the thing, if they're done the right way.
I think people that interpret the Bible word for word or the Quran word for word, well, that's when you can run into some problems. But we're not here to talk about religion. We're here to talk about you and to talk about what makes you tick. Do you ever get visitations in your dreams and that kind of thing, like while you're not working?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just
absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I'm one of these quirky ones. I have really vivid dreams, and I actually pay attention to them. And it's interesting. I actually thought we would even talk about that today. So I actually know how to interpret my dreams. One of the most vivid dreams that I had, this is years and years and years ago, I had a dream of these aircraft going into the Charles River in Boston. And I knew that this was an aircraft that had was somewhere from the Middle East, because I was in the aircraft. And I was actually wearing a whole abaya. It's called abaya or jalaba or a burqa. I was wearing the whole outfit, so this is how I knew that it was from the Middle East. And I also saw, and I actually did live in the Middle East, so I could recognize it.
Okay.
And I remember in this dream that I was on this aircraft, and it went nosedive into the Charles River. And I woke up from this dream, and I thought in my heart, I knew that within a few days there would be a plane crash. Within a few days, there was an Egypt Air that went plunging down into the, I think it was the Long Island Sound. And everyone perished.
Oh, yeah. It was after 9/11, not too far after 9/11.
It was close to that. I actually dreamt that, and I've had several of those dreams. And in my case, I actually know how to interpret it. Even last night, I had a dream about Bono in U2. And then I turned on the radio this morning, and they said, and today is Bono's birthday. And so I find it kind of, the synchronicity is actually quite profound. Yeah, and I also many years ago I had a dream about my my dad had passed away. It was almost about a year after that. I had a dream with my brother was driving our car, kind of like almost like a Hogwarts type of thing. He was just driving the car in heaven. And my brother was driving and my sister was sitting in the front seat and I was sitting behind them. And we were like, I was kind of like guiding them to heaven's gate. And then we get to the heaven's gates. And then my brother, he lies down on the grass. And so in the dream, my brother's lying down and he's got his hands behind his behind his head and just relaxing. And then my dad, who already had passed away, he comes out of heaven's gate and he goes and he brings my mom in. Because my mom came walking from this side somewhere, and he brought her in. And so I knew that it would be only a few years till my mom would pass away. What happened 3 days after this dream, I had this dream three nights in a row. On the third night, my brother had an accident where he broke his skull, and he was in a coma for weeks. And I knew from the dream that he would be okay.
Okay.
And then I counted the years, and then about 3 or 4 years later, my mom passed away, almost to the date from the dream. So it was interesting how it came in three, and I really paid close attention to it. And I think that if people learn how to interpret the dreams, the dreams are loaded with messages. And there are two ways. Should I go into how to interpret them?
You know what? Let's do that after the break. We gotta do a little break from our sponsors. We have two breaks during the show, so I'm a little bit late for the first one. So we're gonna go to a break from our sponsors, and we will be right back with Siri Bernstein. Thank you.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows. pillows, and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. We got Siri Bernstein on the phone here with us. And before I say anything, I just want to correct something. Her website is Spirit of Flight. Okay, Spirit of Light. Spirit of Light. You see, I can't read. So I highly suggest you check out her website and sign yourself up for some lessons or some medium readings from her. She's just totally amazing. So, definitely check out spiritoflight.com, okay? So, Siri, before the break, you were going to explain how you interpret some messages, right?
Okay. First I'm going to talk about dreams, and then I'm going to talk about some ways for people to exercise that, their own gift.
Okay,
so in terms of dreams, one of the first things that I say to people, have a dream journal. I write down the dream. If you're feeling confused, pick out a few friends that are really good interpreting, just in general, that are really good at interpreting dreams or are willing to share with their thoughts. And there's this one exercise that people can do, like if people pick like two or three friends. And so the way it is, like you tell the dream, and then the person that is listening to the dream, they will say, if this was my dream, and then they will give their own interpretation of the dream. And get a few people, and you will notice that people will give very, very similar insights on the same dream. So that's one way.
Okay. Yeah.
Another way is if you have a dream, and then let's say you dream there's a red boat on a lake or red canoe on a lake, and there's a person sitting in their canoe. And let's say the person that is from the spirit world. But you don't see the front of the person, but you feel within your heart in the dream, it is someone that you recognize that is in the spirit world. So dreaming sharing the dream with someone, the person that is listening to the dream, they can then in return say to the dreamer, they can say, what does the water mean to you? And then, you know, like for me, that means emotion. And then the one who is listening to the dream, they could ask, is the water calm or if it's rugged or what it is, choppy. And then the dreamer will say, well, you know, it looked pretty calm or whatever the water looked like. And then let's say they highlight the red color of the canoe, and then they say, what does the red mean to you? Passion, fire, whatever that may be. And then they say, and in the canoe, you said you saw a person. And what is the first thing that comes to mind? What does it feel like to you? So the dreamer themselves, they interpret the dream by someone that is listening to the dream sort of saying to them, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? Etc. So this is one way of interpreting dreams, but I cannot emphasize it strongly enough that people really should have a dream journal if they want to really get into the depth of the dreams. Because I dream every night. I dream every night, and I really pay attention to my dreams.
Yeah, now, a lot of people can't remember them because you forget dreams so quickly. If you don't write it down, you'll forget it.
All you need is one line. All you need is one paragraph. Quite frankly, there was a time I lived in Paris back in the, I think it was like the 80s or the 90s. I was living in Paris. And I had a journal, and this is when I started studying art, and I wrote everything down. I had a diary, dream journal, and everything. And I still to this day remember the dreams that I had when I was living in Paris. There was one dream that I had, which was about flying pigs, and I found myself being in a desert, and I saw streets and light posts and flying pigs, but I didn't see any houses. Now, 20 years later, I was in Saudi Arabia, and I was living kind of in the desert, and they had put all these streets down, like all these streets, and they had put, you know, the light posts. And it was exact replica from a dream that I had dreamt like 10 or 20 years earlier. I find that really interesting.
Yeah, it must have been like deja vu for you. You must have had
It was. And I still remember the moment. I was on a bus, and I was driving through the desert, and I looked out, and I thought, oh, my God, that is my dream that I dreamt when I was living in Paris.
That's incredible. Yeah. I know a lot of people get the deja vus, and it's probably from something that they dreamt, you know, and then experiencing in real life. And
Or you know what? They may have been there before, but because... Mm-hmm. There really is no time. Time is man-made, you know? You know, their energy may have been in the space before.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I really want to
share this this exercise here. When people, and this is something that one of my students actually shared with me, and she found enormous healing in this. Her daughter had passed away in a car accident. And let's say her daughter's name was Anna. And she was really hurting from that, from her loss, from the loss of her daughter. And she figured this out. She started making an appointment with her daughter. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., she would sit down at a desk with a pen and paper, and she would light a candle, and she would just sit there. And she would start writing letters to her daughter, and she would say, "Dear Anna." And then she would just sort of say whatever was going on in her life. And then the more she did it, she started noticing the energy shift in the room, because her daughter Anna knew that she was doing this. And then her daughter Anna started responding to her.
Like with automatic writing?
Almost like automatic writing. And so she started making this connection with her daughter, and she said it was so profoundly healing that she realized that her daughter was there in the room. She was not in a physical form, but she was there. And so she was having dialogues with her daughter. So these were letters going back and forth. And it was brilliant, brilliant.
That is. And the problem, you know, with today's society, everybody wants instant gratification. And, you know, things like that, those techniques actually... For sure they work, but you got to spend time with them. You know, like this lady sounded like she was very committed, 6 o'clock every night. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen right away, but, you know, over time. And everybody wants, you know, in this age of instant information, everybody wants to know now, you know.
Yeah.
And just doesn't have the patience to do it, you know.
True. But you know what? Do you know what, Roman? I think that a grieving person will do anything to connect with their loved one.
Yeah. Yep.
They will make the commitment. They will make the commitment of sitting down once a week at 6 p.m. They will make that commitment because they know that through their effort of trying to connect with their child or their loved one, mm-hmm. Their spouse, making that commitment, spirit knows. It's the same thing for me. I think that mediumship is commitment. It is not just something that you can do frivolously, but it's dedication and it's commitment. And I had a dialogue the other day with one of my teachers, with one of my mentors, and we were talking about mentorship and apprenticeship. And I've been with the same teacher for 15 years. And it is dedication, it's commitment. And I have only missed one class in 15 years.
Wow, that is commitment.
Yeah, and I think that, this is really, it's dedication. It's the same thing when you lose someone. You become dedicated to keep that memory alive. And once you find that thing that works and you can make that communication yourself, you're going to mm-hmm. continue doing that.
Now, as a medium, you explained that both your parents have passed, they've crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, you're obviously close with them. Do you still, mm-hmm. do you find a communication between somebody that you're close with and, let's say, somebody that you don't know, like a sitter's loved one? Do you find that the communication is different? Is it different to interpret the messages between the two?
So I'm going to say this. Initially, when I first started, I was an atheist.
Okay.
And so for me, yeah, I was one of these like, oh, you drop dead and you go in the ground and done. You know, I was the extremist of atheists. But when I started doing mediumship in the beginning years, I was a horrible sitter. I was just absolutely horrible. And I would want the medium to tell me, like, this is what it is. But as I went along on my journey, I started realizing, no, I have to be more fluid in how to understand and how to receive. And once I became more fluid in receiving the messages, I know, for instance, when a medium brings through, for instance, my mom, last night a wonderful medium brought through my mom, and it was a tearjerker for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brings her through with such beautiful evidence, and it was so heartfelt, and then, you know, there's a message that comes with it. If he had brought through that evidence, like, let's say 15 years ago, I would have sort of shrugged my shoulders and said, no, you don't tell my mom. But now I know the energy and the information that goes along with it. I know how to interpret it. And so I think that we as sitters, we have to be open-minded and we have to be fluid in how to interpret the messages, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So you actually, as you know, as a top-notch medium, you go and see mediums as well.
Well, this was in the, I don't need to. I'm very lucky. I don't need to, because the thing is, I teach on Monday nights. I have a little group and wonderful mediums in that group. And, you know, we get messages every Monday night. And then Wednesday night, and then Tuesday nights, I've been teaching too, beginner classes. Not that I receive any messages there. But then Wednesday nights, I have my class that I go to as a student. And there are some top-notch mediums there. And I'm really blessed.
Okay.
I see... Yeah, I have access to mediums.
Okay, so if you wanted to speak to your mom, I guess, or your dad, I mean, I'm sure you could.
I can do it myself. But I can tell you this: I'm a human being, and as a human being, I still want that connection. I still want to know.
Of course.
And it was really interesting. My colleague, his name is Ron, and he's a fabulous medium. He's got a full time job, so he's not working as a medium, but. He was the one that gave me the message yesterday. It was really interesting. He had said last night, he said he hadn't heard from his mother in a long time, probably in like a year, maybe 2 years. And he was really missing her. And he had a dream about her. In the dream, she was busy. And that night, going to the class, I thought to myself, I really want to hear from my mom. I haven't heard from her in 2 months. You know, like, I'm being pretty pathetic. I hadn't heard from my mom in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I started calling out to her, and I said, I really want to hear from you. And he brought through this wonderful healing message last night.
Wow,
so I, as a human being, I sat there and, you know, I teared up.
Wow.
So we can call them. We can call on them to come in. Now, I'm going to say this, though. When people go to these big events where there's like 1,000 people, 1,200 people,
right.
The chance that you're going to get read is really slim, and you're much, much, much better off to go to a private session.
Of course, absolutely.
Is there a
difference between being like in front of the medium, being in the same room as the medium, or doing a phone session?
No, there's no difference.
That? Okay.
No, there's no difference.
A lot of people don't, because I'm calling from Albany, New York, and I think, you know, there's not very many good mediums around here. There is one who's, like, totally amazing. Her name is, I think it's O'Connor, and her first name is Georgia. She's amazing. Completely blew my mind. I was looking for answers, and I sought out a lot of other mediums, and none of them... came close to her, and they weren't, frankly, they weren't any good. But, you know, people are asking me for my recommendations because they know I do the show and they know my connections and all that. And I go, do the phone readings. Call these people. They're amazing. And there's that little apprehension, I want to be in front of the person. Blah, blah, blah. Go, why? You know, it's all about energy and getting messages. Yeah. It's not physical, you know. So I think that message really has to be hammered home, so people understand that a phone reading is just as effective And I'm glad
I'm glad
you understand.
With a phone reading, what is nice about a phone reading, like I know that a lot of mediums, they're very casual. You know, they may be at home and they're really comfortable. They may be in their PJs or they may be in the slippers and PJs and whatnot. That's usually like when I do phone reading, I'm in the most comfortable space I could be in. And the person is sitting at home, I would say most of the time, they're sitting at home and they are themselves. You know, they've made themselves a cup of tea or something, they're sitting back and they're listening and they're really taking it in. And a lot of times it's like late at night that they're getting into the reading and then they can go to bed and they can really just take it in. So it's nice to be in your own home environment. You may be sitting where, you know, let's say somebody lost their spouse and their spouse lived with him in that home. And they're sitting in the energy and they're reminiscing about their, you know, about their spouse or their child or something. And so phone reading is equally beneficial as, as an in-person reading. And I know this because one of my, there was a lady that came in for a reading with me a while back, and she said it was really profound. And then she, of course, she said she wanted more. And so she took a class with me, and then she asked me, do you know any other good mediums? Because I said, I'm not going to read you again in the next, 6 months, a year. And then she's like, I want more. And I said, okay. And I gave her a few of the names of the Forever Family Foundation mediums. I always do that. And she had a reading with Doreen Molloy, and she said it was absolutely amazing. And it was a phone reading. And she said, Doreen Molloy and myself, we work very similarly, and we spent enormous amount of time with the client, really making sure that healing is taking place. And she said it was top-notch. And then this woman, she had a reading with another medium that is a little bit west of Boston. And she said it was okay, but it was nothing compared to Doreen Molloy or myself.
Right. Absolutely.
So that was an in-person reading. So she had a really good reading with me in person. She had a phenomenal reading with Doreen Molloy over the phone. And then she had a third reading with another medium in person. And it was so-so.
In
person, over the phone, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Absolutely.
No.
As a matter of fact, this Georgia O'Connor, we've had a few readings, me and my wife, with her over the phone. And the stuff that she's given us, there's no way she could have known it. It has to do with like our Ukrainian tradition, because I'm Ukrainian by, my motherland and all that kind of stuff. But the first time that I met with her, it was actually an in-person reading, because I didn't know the difference. And I just, somebody had recommended her, and I said, okay, I'm going to give you a, I called her from a conference phone, from a conference room where I used to work, where there's thousands of people working. So she couldn't have traced the phone, and I gave her a fake name. I told her my name was Tony.
Oh, you did that? Oh,
I did. Oh, yeah. I gave her the fake name. I said, I swear to God, I will come, and I will pay you in cash. Okay, I'll have the cash on me. Just see me, because I didn't want any credit card information or anything like that, anything that she can Google. Because you Google my name, right away you'll see a video clip of, what happened to me and this and that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, no, I'm not saying that that's what the medium would do or anything like that, but, there's the what if that can exist,
Oh, totally.
Anyways, I did all of that, and she pulled my son's name out of thin air. Spelling Stefan, Stefan.
Yeah.
She pulled it right out of thin air. There's no way she could have known that. So that's what, ever since that time, it's like, here you go. Like, let's do it on the phone, It's all good,
But, I have to say, but I'm going to tell you this on the flip side, because one of the volunteers, and I have to say this, for a family foundation, they need more volunteers, because that is what keeps this organization going. You are volunteering. I volunteer my time.
Mm-hmm.
When we do the convention in November, it's going to be volunteering our time. And the retreat in Connecticut in July, the mediums, they're volunteering the time. All the scientists, everyone is volunteering their time. But they still need to keep the doors open, quote, unquote. But one of the Forever Family Foundation volunteers, she wanted to have a reading with me. And she actually wanted to book it under a fake name, and I said, you can do that. That's fine. I couldn't care less.
Right.
But then I said to her, and I was very honest with her. I said, you know what? quite frankly, I don't have time to look you up. I have no time. You know, create a new email. I don't care. But I just want her first name so that I knew that when I would call her, that I would be able to call her with first name. The rest of it, I really couldn't care less. So when people book with me, I have no access to their credit card information. I have no access to any of that. The only thing that I have access to is the name and the email. And if they want to create a phony name, that's fine by me. All I ask is I have the first name correct. I just don't want to, like, I want to have a connection that I know that I'm talking to Mary or I'm talking to Jim or I'm, like, I want to know the first name. You know, it's just a courtesy thing.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But I once had a person trying to book with me, and she used a phony name, and she used the phony name of Lisa. And I said to her, please go through my booking calendar online, because that, and I pointed out to her, I have no access to your information. Create a phony name. I don't care. I have no access to your credit card. I have no access to anything that you put in there.
Right.
But please do it online through my calendar. She refused to do it. And you know what she did? She ended up giving me a one-star review on Yelp, because she said that she was unable to book with me, even though I pointed out to her over and over and over again. I have no access to that information. So it's kind of like it's secure. It's all kind of like secure.
Mm-hmm.
Even when people say to me, oh, can you use the credit card that I gave, you know, to pay the deposit? I say, I have no access to it. So my system is set up in such a way that I have no access to anything. I just have access to their email and name.
Right.
The rest of it, you know. So and the other thing also, like, I don't have time. I just don't have time. Even Bob Ginsburg is on my tail. I owe him an article, and I forgot I had to write it. You know, it's like,
oh, geez, yeah.
And well, I think most of the, I honestly think most of the best mediums, they don't have time to look people up. They just don't.
Okay.
And sure, I will, go ahead.
Yeah. We're going to take another little break because we need to hear from our sponsors. But let's continue on this train of thought when we get back, okay? Just to, I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to go to some messages right now.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Thank you.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Everybody, we've been told by the clock on the wall and our producer that we're kind of running out of time over here. It's just been flowing so quickly, Siri, your conversations with you. I mean, there's so much to talk about. We can talk all night. We did a lot of talk about interpreting messages from spirit. We talked a little bit about apprehensions that people might have about mediums, and you gave some really great advice about how to, you know, what people can do. Is there any, like, parting words that you want to say before we have to leave the air?
I would say for anyone that is grieving, do whatever you can to connect with your loved one.
Okay, that's really good advice. Yeah, I think just the therapeutic effect of that is amazing.
Just really connect with them, bond with them. Yeah, I mean, even like if you have a sweater, a blanket, a throw, anything that belongs to your loved one, mm-hmm. wrap yourself in it, immerse yourself in their energy, because that's how I think that grief really sort of unfolds and helps us.
I also would add to that, read up on it. Read the literature.
Yes.
Read all the science.
Mm-hmm.
The science that is starting to prove all of that. This stuff is for real.
Yeah.
Because I think that instills a sense of hope that you will reconnect at some point and you will be together and everything. That's for me personally. That worked a lot. Just diving into it.
I just discovered Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton, and Journey of Souls is phenomenal.
Okay, Siri, thank you very much for spending some time with us, and we really, unfortunately, we have to end the show, but it was such a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to see you in person very soon, and I hope everything goes well with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good night, everybody.